Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
It's scary when you jump out on your own. One of my most critical lessons I learned in my first year was, you know, make sure you are really in alignment with your clients. I was jumping into a better future for my daughter, for myself. I wrote a book shortly after I launched my business, and one of the things that I talked about was building a personal brand. With any sort of public relations or marketing campaign, you have to constantly push it out there, evaluate, adjust. Failure is an opportunity to learn about how to do it better.
Sydney, again, thank you for coming on to the Faye's Knowledge Podcast. I just have one question for you. Why C2 Communications?
You know, I'm going to say C2 was such a nerdy name. It started out as C-squared, and no one actually followed the squared. And so I just modified. I was like C2 Communications. But I launched shortly after social media came on the scenes, and it was content times connections was my shtick for the C2. And I think I love the fact that it morphed in the way it did, because, you know, communications has morphed a lot in the industry. But I started my business in 2009, as we were still in the Great Recession, and really I was jumping into a better future for my daughter, for myself, and really looking to create something amazing. And 16 years later, freaking amazing, man. It's been a wild ride that I love all the way.
As I was doing research on you, you have 25 years in the field of communications, public relations, and marketing. Did I research that right?
Yes. Yeah, I graduated college in 2000 or 2001. I can't remember. But I jumped into the hotel industry in communications, marketing communications, sales office for a little while. And, you know, ended up looking for something a little more steady. So I went into construction after that, and worked for a general contractor, PBS Contractors. And what a phenomenal opportunity for growth that was, because they were a small company that allowed me to, you know, really grow and create a position that, you know, satisfied their need for making money and my need for knowledge and growth. It was a really good ride. But I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. You know, I think even as a teenager, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And it's scary when you jump out on your own. It is really scary to say, like, all the responsibility is on me, you know? And I used to do martial arts too. I'm not sure if you found that when you were researching me, but I used to do some martial arts, and my guru, because I was doing Sayok style Kali, And in the Kali, if you got bumped with a stick or whatever, you got a nice bruise, they called it a knowledge bump. So got lots of knowledge bumps coming through the pipeline, right? You know, but when you launch and you really commit, you know, you've got to say, like, failure's not an option. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be things that don't work. And you got to be 100% committed, because if you got a backup plan, that's your plan to fail.
When I was in the Marine Corps, we often plan ahead, or I give you a promise. When we was in Marine Corps boot camp training, every day we would get to a place early just to wait. It would be cold. We was about to go to the range and, you know, qualify to shoot for rifles, for our weapons and stuff like that. And we'll wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And we'll get there at 5:30 and then wait until 8 o'clock. So this time that we're waiting, it is cold. It is dark. It is freezing. But yet when it's time for us to start, everyone is on time. Everyone is there. Everyone is ready. Everyone is prepared. It's the preparation that you don't see when you're leaping into your faith, when you're leaping into your journey, when you're leaping into something that you believe in. You mentioned when you always want to be an entrepreneur. Okay, wanting to be an entrepreneur is completely different than being an entrepreneur. As you started to become an entrepreneur, what did you recognize about yourself?
You know, I think I stepped into a lot of personal power, and people say freedom, like, oh my gosh, I can work from anywhere, right? You know, I think that in that power, I was working five times as hard as I was in working for someone else. And that's not because I wasn't committed to my previous jobs. That's because in those first 2 years of launching, you have to work twice as hard to get the clients, make sure you're maintaining the clients, make sure you're building out the marketing materials for yourself. You got to do your billing, make sure your taxes are ready. You know, like, there's all those things that you didn't even know that you needed, you know, because when you worked for someone, all that stuff was done for you, right? And so it became a PowerPoint, because when I walked into a networking event or I walked into a meeting and people were recognizing Cindy, oh my gosh, that's Cindy Woolley. She's a fantastic communications person. She's an excellent marketer. Oh my gosh, public relations. She's phenomenal, right? And they weren't talking about me with the company that I'd been with prior, where I felt like I was using the company name for recognition. Here it was me being recognized and standing out for the efforts. And that was really fantastic. And I wrote a book shortly after I launched my business. And one of the things that I talked about was building a personal brand. And, you know, you have that theory, right, like of personal brand and influence and everything when you're working for someone. But I literally flipped my title on my LinkedIn profile and my first client came in as soon as that's the same day. And I was like, that is such an immense amount of trust and, you know, phenomenal client. We had a great run for 2 or 3 years. And before they ended up hiring an internal person to replace me, which was, I totally respect. But it's, you know, it's definitely a positioning point where you can tell your story and people really connect with you on deeper levels than what you know.
By the way, the name of the book is called Building Brand You. So, and as I started to understand the more about, you know, you have a lot of history in communications. And I was really surprised because it seemed like every career that you went to, it was in communications and it was in public relations. It was in some form of marketing. And when you start to really step into your destiny, into your true path, you start to understand, well, you've been doing it for a long time. You've been communicating and marketing and sales and promoting for a long time. And the only difference is, you've been doing it for a company and now you are doing it for yourself. It's understanding that the pieces of the puzzles has already been put together, but it's identifying at every point in your journey where that puzzle go, where that piece of the puzzle go. And when you started to understand that you're really helping people and people are actually coming to you and say, Sydney, what you did for this client, I want you to do the same exact thing because my messaging is all over the place. When you started to see the difference, how did you know that the difference that you were making came from your experience, not from you reading a book since you already wrote a book?
Yeah. You know, I think, so I was sitting down and with one of my first clients, and we were creating a community outreach and education plan. This was not a plan to drive leads and, you know, fill the funnel and that sort of thing. This was an influence plan, which is infinitely more critical for certain industries, but it's a lot harder to measure the milestone points, right? So we were evaluating their budget, their community education outreach budget, the, you know, what nonprofits are they sponsoring? Who are they, you know, supporting? How are they promoting that? How are they tying it back to their clients and everything? And then, you know, we ended up finding so much waste in there, and the messaging was literally all over the place, like you were saying, right? And I funneled it down. I took everything away and I came back and I funneled down and I said, you need to get rid of this stuff, get rid of this stuff. We're trying to influence and gain, you know, trust and respect with these five people. And this is what they care about. So we need to care about with what our key stakeholders care about. And we need to be in alignment with the people that we're working with. And it was like, wow, wow. And that client gave me the title to my podcast. He goes, wow, you are really so good at cutting through the clutter, right? Communication is so noisy. People layer in so many details and they're like, in their head, every detail is so important to really moving that message forward. But at the end of the day, you've got to really focus in and be your core, you know, the core company that you are, the core person that you are, and you've got to connect with your key stakeholders. And when you can do that, you're going to move mountains.
And speaking of cutting through the clutter, I actually had the pleasure of being on your podcast, and it was a great experience because you kept referencing your experience in public relations. And at the time, like I took one class at USF for public University of South Florida for public relations. It was a phenomenal class. It was an amazing class. But I didn't recognize I was in the public relations business or the communication business. And you kept referencing. Then as I start to do research on you, I'm like, that's why you was referencing that. That makes a lot of sense now.
The dots connected.
Dots was connecting. I'm like, oh, that's why you're a good communicator, because there's a lot of things that a lot of people want to say. But just because you have a lot to say doesn't mean you need to be saying everything.
True. Very true. And I recently had a client have some things go wrong, right? You know, like it was just a series of uncontrollable circumstances. No one died. No one did anything illegal, but people weren't happy, right? And so we took the steps to make, you know, to resolve that situation. And the person involved wrote just a very lengthy explanation that they were going to send. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, the client, you know, your client that you're trying to resolve this trust with, they need to know that you're going to fix it. And literally that can be like five sentences that says, I'm so sorry, I'm going to fix it, and here's what you can expect, right? Like, they don't need paragraphs. They need succinct trust and understanding that you heard them.
And that's what makes you a great communicator, because you're saying a lot of things that people want to say, but you're saying it so concise that people understand it even more, even faster. You brought up your daughter earlier. And so when you brought up your daughter earlier, it made me think about that. It had to be some challenges that you had to experience, that you had to go through. What was your biggest failure before you even understood that you was doing something right, that you have a understanding in communication and marketing? You had to have some failure behind everything that you're behind your success. What was your biggest failure?
Oh, what's my biggest failure? That's a good one. My biggest failure. You know, so this goes back into clients, right? And the lessons learned when you're an entrepreneur. Sometimes we're called on to do projects that are just full of heart and full of, you know, someone has a nonprofit mission and they're so excited about that. They're so, you know, it's got a compelling cause behind it. It's changing people's lives when it's done right, and you want to help them out, you know. And sometimes those clients are in need of help, and they've got a very big vision, but they don't have the ability to deliver consistently, and that turns into doing three or four times the work than what you're getting paid for, and leads to burnout and resentment and, you know, challenged relationships, right? And so I would say one of my most critical lessons I learned in my first year was, you know, make sure you are really in alignment with your clients along the way. And it's not even that the client itself wasn't doing something fantastic, you know, and I can't say what it was because, you know, I don't want to identify them, because I still hold them in my heart, you know, that they did some really fantastic things, but they couldn't run a business. And, you know, and at some point as a business owner, you've got to figure out who you can serve that's going to keep you lit up and keep your cup full so that you don't drain out and not be of service to yourself and your family and the rest of your clients.
I did a podcast the other day, and during the podcast, he was talking about how he was a, what was he? He's the owner of Mango Space, but his previous experience before then, he was a Penguin Insurance, that he was telling me about the growth and everything that they had been through. And so by him working with a lot of insurance agents, he was like, a lot of insurance agents do not know how to be entrepreneurs. They do not know how to market. They don't know how to sell. They don't know how to follow up. They don't know the finances behind. They don't understand the importance of a business owner and everything that comes within it. Earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that you had to learn everything for yourself, for your business. And then when you start to work with clients, you see the missing piece. You see the missing puzzle. It's not just the product that people are focused on. It's everything that has to be taken into consideration. When you take the piece of that into consideration, how do you know that you're helping someone go from point A to point B? Or no. How do you know you're in alignment with the customer that you're helping rather than not being in alignment?
You know, I think clarity is very important. And as I was saying earlier, like, it doesn't have to be paragraphs when in certain situations, right? But in the clarity of scope of work and clarity of goals of what you're trying to achieve, you know, and really understanding what that client's needs are. That if you can understand it and then restate those goals and restate how you're going to get there, but then, you know, like any presentation class that you took in high school or college, right, was if you're going to give a presentation, you tell them what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them, right? And like, you've got to keep that repetitive in there. I've had some of my best clients come when they call me for, Cindy, I need public relations. Well, what do you need public relations for? What's the goal? What are you trying to get to? Have you done this yet? Have you done that yet? Like, they think they're calling me to interview me, and I end up interviewing them on the phone, you know, and it's not, you know, it's a pre-qualification of sorts, but, you know, I really want to make sure that they're prepared and make sure I understand what they're looking for so that we can reach that alignment. And I have gotten my best clients when they call me and I start questioning them and they're like, all right, yeah, no one else has put that kind of thought work into it. So you're hired, you know, and that has turned into long-term relationships. Most of my clients run 3 years minimum, and I've had a few that have been with me all 16 years. 16 years, yep.
Wait, you're okay. Now I have additional questions. The average time that people are with you is 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to, why 3 years?
Why 3 years? You know, usually, so in the creative industry, there is typically a turnover, right? Because from public relations, you write a certain number of stories and then, you know, like they need a fresh perspective. Or in a marketing sense, the market shifts, the leadership shifts, you know, in the creative services industry, it's totally normal for there to be turnover after around 2 years, you know. But we've seen clients, you know, 3 years is a good amount where we've come in, we've moved the needle, and most of the time that we've been let go, it's not because they're not happy. It's because they end up needing someone internal, and then they can't, you know, like we become redundant. And the fact that they're succeeding on that level, that makes me so happy, you know. And sometimes I look at the work afterwards and I'm like, ah, the internal person's not doing it like I did it. Oh, you know, like I still have ownership over, you know, the work that we did or whatnot. But, you know, like ultimately success is success for the client, and success for me is that they're thriving, you know.
As you was explaining that, what we said earlier, I had another epiphany moment where everything was coming together, where you focus on communications, you focus on public relations, and you focus on marketing. That takes time for that to be established.
Mm-hmm.
It takes consistency. Even though it might be redundant, the same message that's been said in different ways over and over again, that's what people get customers from. So people think when you're working with a public relations or get on podcasts, get on media, things of that nature, you're supposed to have instant gratification. But in reality, it's like, well, you're not going to have instant success. If you keep doing it, you will have success. So how do you communicate that, hey, if you come to work with us, it is a 3-year minimum. If you're looking for 1 month, we're not your team. We're not your public relations.
Oh, absolutely. We don't require a 3-year minimum. And, you know, I will say we do require a 1-year minimum on things. And we are very frank that, you know, from a public relations standpoint, you know, we're going to start working from day one. If we're driving stories, though, stories don't always happen in the first, you know, 45 days. Sometimes it can be 90 days before you see a story come to fruition. But hopefully you can get some early successes and then really be able to move the needle in other ways, right? And building the brand and really building that brand and communications is more than just a press release. It's more than a story pitch. It's more than a single marketing message. You know, we look at your LinkedIn profile. Does it match what you're doing? Or are you a CEO that has 45 connections? And I talk to clients very frankly, which is another reason why they love me. You know, I look at them and I'm like, you have 45 connections on LinkedIn. That does not evoke trust. You know, we need to grow that audience, even if you're only posting once a month, right? Just people need to know that you have reach and you have influence. And that's part of that brand trust. But then some of our clients, you know, aren't even on LinkedIn, and that's fine. You have a different mechanism that you pull to get that brand visibility. So I think, you know, I think it's, and this goes back to that alignment as well, right? Where when I'm having that conversation, we're presenting a proposal, you know, I will tell them it's a 6-month minimum or a 12-month minimum, depending on the project. And if they say we only want to do month to month, I say, then I think you should hire the other contractor because I can't do that.
That's you knowing your value. In fact, you actually wrote that in one of your 7 essentials. And I gave you a prime example. So recently, when the business I'm doing, it was helping leaders launch their podcast with confidence. And then when I start to like really put it out to market, talk to other people and really just get the feedback to help me understand, is this the right product that I'm even offering? As I continue to do that, it's not the fact that it's the wrong product. It's just more so it would take a long time. Because launching your podcast is easy. All you have to do is have your laptop, microphone, as you know. But it's the consistency part that comes after that. You have to consistently record. You have to consistently upload. You have to consistently put your videos out there. Excuse me. So it wasn't the fact that that was my challenge. It was more so, well, how can I actually solve that problem? It is a problem, not to say that, but that problem comes from building a community. Mm-hmm. A lot of podcasters who want to launch their podcast, if you get around other podcasters, you will eventually have your podcast. So I'm like, well, I haven't been in business as long as you have. However,
are you calling me old?
I'm calling you wise. I'm calling you experienced.
Are in public relations.
So I had to pivot. And when I started to really, I was driving. You know how you're driving on the freeway and you look to the left? Well, look to the left, and then you see billboards, and you look to the right, you see billboards. I'm like, wait. Leaders, entrepreneurs need more exposure. So what if I just changed my business model from helping leaders launch their podcast with confidence to helping leaders gain more exposure for their business? Mm-hmm. Oh, Sydney, it hit me. I said, that's it. It doesn't
pivot point. Pivot.
If there's a different word for pivot, oh my goodness. So I bring that up because your book focuses on building brand you, which means that you have to be aware of yourself. That's where the alignment comes from. If you don't know who you are and who you are willing to work with, then you're going to be working with everybody. Now that makes sense. You're good at... Now that makes sense. Golly. And the reason why, I just had another epiphany, because if you're trying to serve everyone, you're serving no one. But in order to know who you're serving, you have to start with yourself. So building brand you is so important. I know I'm long-winded. So the question I wanted to ask is that you have 7 essential steps to building your brand. And the first one that it says you are brand you. How did you know Sydney was brand you?
You know, so when we wrote this book, when I wrote this book, there was a lot of controversy around, you know, are you a brand? Are you not a brand? You know, and this is social media and really humanizing people. And to me, you know, part of my epiphany and part of why I use that reference point is if I'm a brand, I am going to see the value that I need to invest in, right? If I'm a brand, I need to show up as a brand would. And if I am just a person, which, you know, like everyone is just a human being. We're all human beings. I'm not like saying anyone's better than anyone, but here I've been trained to, you know, hold a brand up high, set standards, you know, put that whole brand presentation together. And to me, that was how I was going to gain more respect and influence in the industry, was by investing in myself. And so that you are brand you is not, it's about taking ownership of your future. And it's about recognizing that you have the ability to create it based on the brand you're presenting. And if you're not putting any thought behind it, if you're just showing up, you know, half-assed sometimes, right? Like, then that's a whole nother situation.
I definitely agree. You made me just also think about, like, there's steps that everyone has to go through. And when you go through the steps, you're learning more about your journey, your process, and your discovery. What's her name?
Whiskers.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. But you're discovering more about yourself. And when you understand that you're discovering yourself, you're positioning yourself differently. So what we're going to do, we're going to go off script. So I'm going to come to you, say, hey, Sydney, I want to get into public relations, communication, and marketing. Let's say marketing, because it covers everything. I want to get into marketing, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm selling. I don't understand the importance of marketing. What are three tips that you can give me to start marketing myself effectively?
I think the first tip is you need to understand your audience. And that's your identifying your ideal customer is in the book, right? Your ideal customer is someone where you pick up the phone and everything flows, someone that, you know, really gets it and gets what you do and appreciates it, values it, cuts a check without complaining, you know, that you didn't really work that many hours. And I say that because some people count the hours instead of the results, right? And you don't want to work with the people that are counting the hours over the results. You want the people that understand that you know, the results are more important. So you need to understand your ideal client, and you need to really define and refine what it is that you're offering. And if you don't know anything about marketing, you're not going to be able to sell it, right? You know, but if you, whatever the product is that you're offering, and that product and service has a unique aspect because it's you, and because you are connecting with your ideal customer. So many businesses or prospective businesses don't really understand the influence and why what they do is important to the customer that they serve. And as soon as you can find that little nugget of gold, right? Why is your service so important, and why is it so effective with the customer that you're working with? That is the message that you have to push out there, right? You know, people talk about magic words and magic funnels and, you know, all sorts of Facebook ads and Meta ads and all of this stuff. At the end of the day, if you don't have that connection, doesn't matter what you're talking about, because whatever you're talking about is going to draw in someone who's a bad client, who's going to churn and burn. It's gonna cause burnout for you. It's gonna waste money, or they're gonna click through and they're gonna go, I don't even know what this means, and then they're not gonna buy, so they're not gonna convert. So your tip is identify your ideal customer, to understand what it is that you offer and why it's so important, and then connect with them where they are, right? Connect with them where they are. And that might be that I'm looking for executives on LinkedIn. But I've got clients who don't find anyone on LinkedIn, right? We've got a client that is seeking an elderly sounds not flattering, a more affluent older individual who's retired. They're not on LinkedIn. And they're not even reliably on Facebook. But, you know, they are on mobile devices in other capacities. So, you know, our strategy doesn't rely on social media the same way it does for other companies.
And I like how you use the motto, tell people what you're going to teach them. Teach them. And then tell them again what you just taught them. I picked it up. My wife, she's an educator. My wife, she's an educator. And she taught me how to present and do podcasts better. So that way, like, I can educate more around podcasts and marketing, things of that nature. So to recap, you have to understand your brand. No, you said understand your brand, right?
The first was
identify your ideal customer. And then the next one is to
understand why your service is so important to your ideal customer.
I got the two mixed up. And then the last one is meet them where they are at.
Yep.
And that's where they're cutting through the clutter comes from.
Right there, cutting through. Wow,
look at that reference. Look at that reference.
Look at that.
and I appreciate your expertise, because sometimes a lot of people miss the importance of the experience. You're not just saying it because you've read a lot of books about marketing, which you probably have. But what matters the most is that you tried the information. You tried what you've learned in before you went into your own business, before you went to entrepreneurship. But people miss that. They miss that lesson. They miss that experience. They miss that time when you was unsure on how to find your ideal customers, help them understand where they're at, and meet them where they're at. Meeting people where they're at is challenging. So how do you help your clients meet them, communicate with them, and identify where your customers are at?
You know, we do a profile based on, you know, existing databases, existing clients. We, you know, based on that ideal structure. But and those are the channels that we target initially. But with any sort of public relations or marketing campaign, you have to constantly push it out there, evaluate, adjust. Push it out there, evaluate, adjust. And, you know, you've got to look at your reports on a monthly basis and know, okay, I'm getting, you know, 10,000 visitors to my website, but none of them are converting. Where's the disconnect? You know, why isn't that working? I'm sending out a newsletter and I've got great calls to action in there, but they're not clicking through. Where's the disconnect? I've got social media posts, no one's engaging. Where's the disconnect? And it could be the message, it could be the location, it could be the timing. You know, there's 100 different factors that could be part of that. So, you know, you can't just scrap it all and completely restart the campaign. You've got to go in educated, and then when you see things aren't working quite the way that you want, change a variable, change two variables. Don't change all the variables because you won't know what didn't work, but change a variable or two, see if you can move the needle up. Change a variable or two, move the needle up, you know, and really see where you can touch people there. It's funny. I was just going through a client report this morning, and we have been pushing to add video to their emails. And we looked back through the year of emails, and the three highest performing emails out of the, it's a monthly email, the three highest performing, I mean, significantly higher than all the others, did not have video.
Did not?
No video. And I just had to laugh. I was like, you know, we're doing a deeper dive because we saw the blips, right? We know that when we send one out with video, we're getting about, you know, 40 or 50 video views off of an audience, you know, in the 10,000 range. It's not a huge number, but it's, you know, it's comparable. And it, you know, but the number of email opens on those is much lower. So now I'm left wondering, are the video links getting blocked? Could be completely strategic, you know, a technical issue, not a messaging issue at all. So that's, you know, that's the variables you got to watch out for. Is it technical? Maybe you got to do it a little bit differently.
The C squared, you just explained the C squared of C2 communications. and the reason why I say that is because, again, like, people don't see the details that goes into marketing. Like, we, as you was explaining it today, I understand that. If you explained that maybe half a decade ago, I wouldn't have understood anything that you just said, because of course you have to learn the importance behind it. You said something about readjusting. If I see something that's not working, I'm taking a whole page down. I'm trying to readjust everything. And that was bad, because, well, how do you know it's working? You know it's not working. I'm like, man, oh no.
I know, right? And then, like, God, sometimes in these campaigns, if you just tweak a word, you can increase the opening, you know, you can double the open rate. And you go, cheese, cheese. I'm trying not to get you an E on here.
Yeah, but knowing what word to change, like, how do you know what word to change if they not open it, if they're not reading the email? How do you know what to change?
You know, sometimes it takes, sometimes you should really play with the campaign for like 3 months. You know, sometimes it takes literally 3 months, three different tries. You can do A/B testing on emails to see what's, you know, what's positive. Do you know what A/B testing is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
For the audience, it's when you're testing two things against each other.
Yeah, and so you can do that. It's getting a lot easier to do that on social media ads now, where there are saying, you know, put out this variable and use AI to suggest other variables. And then, you know, it just comes back to actually making the time to come back and look and go, oh, they're clicking through this one and not that one. Well, this image is working better, and this call to action is working better, and seeing where that hits. But it's hard. I'll tell you where it's hard. I do some political campaigns too, because, you know, little political junkie. And man, that there's so much nuance in that language. And the text campaigns that go out with that, you don't get a whole lot of second tries on that. It's funny.
So if it don't go right, don't go right.
Yeah, then you got a bunch of upset people. People going, stop, get out.
And then opt out.
opt out. No more messages.
Okay, oh. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I've figured out that if you personally, I get irritated. I send all these messages and I also get irritated at them. So it's a little funny. So I just block the phone number so they keep sending text messages to me and they have to keep paying for it. And I don't get it. There's a little tip for political season. If you don't want to get the political texts when they come in, open the text and block it. Block the phone number. Don't opt out. Just block it.
I would definitely do that. No,
there it is.
That's little crazy.
Cyber warfare.
Yeah, that's. I didn't even know, but I will now. I will start doing it now. Earlier, you mentioned about aligning with your customers, being aligned with yourself. you have a family. You have a daughter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My daughter is a professional ballerina, which is so exciting, you know, at that age. But she's 19. She's 19, professional ballerina. And, you know, it's a lot of lessons learned along the way there, too.
What's the most recent you can think about?
You know, the most recent one was when it came time. My daughter attended UNCSA School of the Arts, which is an arts conservatory. There's a school of dance, a school of music. There's a school for Broadway theater. And it's such a phenomenal opportunity, right? Such a extraordinary place to go because you've got so many creative people in one spot. And it was such a blessing to be there. So as she's coming out, you know, of that and all of the, she is literally in a class of ballerinas and ballet boys and, you know, that job factor of, okay, I'm going to go get a job or I'm going to go to college or what's the route that I'm going to take, you know? And before she entered her senior year, I gave her an off ramp and said, you know, let's go tour colleges. Let's go see what, maybe you like it. Maybe that's what you want to be, you know, because you've dedicated so much time to ballet and ballet and life. And you need to make sure that you're doing something because you love doing it and not because there's an expectation. So I want you to explore other things. We visited 3 or 4 schools, toured the campuses, toured dorm life. She saw what it was going to be like. And she goes, man, it's really cool. She actually, her favorite one that she liked was University of Asheville, part of the North Carolina school system. And the school actually got hit by a hurricane last year. So it was crazy. Like in North Carolina, got hit by a hurricane and flooded. And it was just bizarre. But that's a whole nother story. So she, at the end of the day, after touring these, you know, spending her junior summer, the summer between junior and senior year, she said, I'm in for ballet. That's what I want to do. I said, perfect. All right, then you need your audition tapes. Get your audition tapes ready, you know, because next step is trainee programs. I said, it would be good for you to take 1 or 2 classes on college, you know, in college, go part-time for college so that, you know, because you've got a prepaid plan, you know, take 1 or 2 classes so that if you decide to go back, you're not starting from zero. And so she, you know, went full in and went into training program and, you know, it was at that first semester, she took like 3 classes, which is pretty close to full time. It was very intense. And the next semester she was like feeling guilty. And I said, this is your time to shine. If you're going to make it, you need to be focused 100%. And I'm the one who told her not to continue in college. I'm the one that said, if you're going to go. Don't, you know, you don't love school. Make this work. And so now she's making it work. She's at the Florida Ballet in Jacksonville.
Wow. Look at that alignment. You helped her gain that confidence and to know where to put the confidence and time into. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I, you know, like we heard it all growing up, right? Like every time she went to a ballet intensive, a summer intensive program, every time career day came around, oh, I know you want to be a dancer, but you better have a backup plan. You better have a backup plan. And I said, you know, honest to God, if you don't want to be a dancer, like you're going to find something else, right? Like people think I was a dancer and I forced her into it. I was not a dancer. I was a nerd. Total
C2,
nerd.
C2. Oh, C-squared.
I was a nerd and definitely not an athlete. And so she did this, and I said, you know, if you want to go, I will support you, and we'll make it happen. And then, you know, yeah, have that backup plan. Backup plan is a plan to fail. It's a plan to say, I don't like it. This is uncomfortable. I'm out. And there have been times when she's been uncomfortable. She's had injuries, and, you know, that have taken her out, or not got the part that she wanted. And, you know, like that's all things that make you appreciate when you can get on stage, and they make you appreciate like where you find that freedom. And, shoot, what was I going to say? Not getting the parts and the character that's developed. You know, I was in a lot of these mom chats, right, on Facebook, ballet mom chats, and all the debates about, do they go to college? Do they not go to college? And I respect everyone who chooses to go to college and pursue dance. I respect the hell out of them. That's a lot of work to do. It was just not the right choice. But consistently what I was seeing from the parents whose kids went pro was, it's not the flash in the pan. It's about that steady, that slow and steady, the consistency, the having the love of the dance, the showing up every day, the showing up and realizing that you're refining it every day, and you're not necessarily going to get a trophy every day, but you're taking the steps to refine it. And I think that relates so much into the rest of life, right? How many days do you show up to work and get a trophy? Not very often, right?
None. Never.
But when you show up and you put the work in and you keep putting the work in and that milestone is achieved, man, it's so rewarding. And you hit that spot and it's just perfect. So I've got my artist, and I'm so excited to see her grow and take on bigger roles in the future. And yeah.
Wow, you're instilling that commitment in her, and she's starting to see the commitment come to life. So that's incredible. I appreciate you for sharing that, because I know like the journey is the journey, but when you recognize and be around people who support you, especially your parents, my mom, who I was raised by a single mom who raised three boys by herself, that support means everything, and you're supporting her on her dreams. And so I commend you for what you're doing as well. So we have one last segment, and it's called Best for Last. And in this segment, I ask you four questions and you answer it in 30 seconds.
I'm in PR. I can't talk in 30 seconds, Terrell.
That's the purpose of the game. So question, you ready?
Let's do it.
Question number one, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful for the ability to take my next breath. You know, life is very short. And the sun's shining, and I can get out and walk and take my next breath, and that's a beautiful day.
Wow. Okay. Question number two: do you have any regrets within the last 25 years of doing communications?
Anyone who knows me knows my regret is when I got out of college, my mom told me to spend the summer backpacking around Europe. And I was too afraid to do it. I was so, like, not afraid to travel. I was afraid that I was not going to be able to pay my student loans. And I was in a rush to get a job. And I got a job, and it was a fantastic job. But I didn't backpack around Europe. And so whenever I've mentored teenagers, I tell them, go backpack around Europe for me. And I'm going to make it over there shortly.
Shortly is actually coming pretty soon. Question number three, you never know how fast it comes. Question number three, what is the biggest lesson that you learned while being the owner of C2 Communications?
Uh, I think the biggest lesson is one in showing people what your priorities are. And this goes way back to when my daughter was young and I was just starting out. When I was driving home at night and all the work was racing around in my head and we were in the car and, you know, I knew there was work to be done, I needed to make that space to be present for her. And so I would tell her, I would say, look, mommy's turning off my phone right now. Tonight it's just you and me. And a lot of that was for her, but mostly it was for me. Verbalizing that ritual of saying, I'm turning my phone off, was the cue for my brain to say, stop working and be present with your kid. And that was so valuable and so worth it. And I hope every parent does that, regardless of whether you're an entrepreneur or not.
In the future, when my wife and I become parents, we're going to keep that in mind. That is a great tip. Wow. Last question. What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
I think that you have to take life as a lesson, as an ongoing lesson for improvement. And failure is an opportunity to learn about how to do it better. And sometimes failure is because of the uncontrollables. So you've got to balance and learn to really manage and control the controllables. That's what one of my clients, Coach Matt Poland, says. You got to control the controllables and do everything right that you can there. And keep making it better.
Wow, Sydney, this has been great. How can people find you? How can they learn more about C2 Communications? How can they improve their marketing?
They can improve their marketing by calling me, right?
You see that plug in?
I would love to hear from people if they've got any feedback, if they, you know, just want to say hi and give a shout out. My website is www.c2-com.com. That's the letter C, the number 2-com.com. And just reach out through that contact form. And we'd love to hear from you about any topics, dance related, marketing related, PR related. Cat related. I've got my cat that regularly photo bombs me or video bombs me on meetings. So
Whiskers.
Yep.
Sydney, this was great. And by the way, the C2, what would you say, your email? What was your website again? Something.
C2-com.com.
Okay. The com.com makes sense now. Communication.com. I was confused. I was like,
That should literally have been my biggest lesson learned, because I have spelled that out so many times in 16 years, but I was like, I am committed.
This has been great. I'm about to stop recording, and I appreciate it, Sydney. Okay, there we go. Sydney, again, thank you for coming on to the Phase Knowledge Podcast. Question number one, what was your biggest takeaway while being on the podcast?
You know, I think that really talking through some of the projects that we do makes it, oh shit, sorry, hit unrecord or just you just erase that part.
I can ask you.
All right. So my biggest takeaway, I'm trying to think. I'm not usually on this side of the interview, so it's just kind of funny. Okay, so my biggest takeaway I don't know why this is like struggling with me, probably because my cat is begging for food over here again. Okay, so my biggest takeaway, are you still recording?
I am, but I can just ask it again.
Okay.
Hold on, you ready? Okay. Thank you again, Sydney, for coming on to the Phage Knowledge Podcast. What was your biggest takeaway about being on the podcast?
You know, Terrell, it is just such a, it's been such a pleasure being with you today. And I think the biggest takeaway that I want people to walk away with is about community and connections. You know, when you have conversations like this, you can both grow and you can both share knowledge. And I think today has been a really great exchange of ideas.
I definitely agree. And last question, for someone who's hesitant to come onto the podcast, what is one piece of advice that you can give them to prepare for the conversation?
I think if someone's hesitant to be on a podcast, be on your podcast, they should just relax and have some fun with you. This has been a fantastic experience. But you know, like getting out there and talking is like, it's like that first networking event. You know, the first time was a little bit challenging, but as soon as you got out there and you got some experience, everything flew and it was super easy and you met such fantastic people. So don't waste the opportunity to meet some fantastic people and definitely join Terrell on his podcast.
Sydney, that was great. I appreciate it. I'm going to stop recording again.